Amen. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Just a quick note, just to reiterate what Roland said about the men's lunch we're having on the 8th of February. That's going to be the first step towards hopefully a cycle of events for men. So please do come along to that after the service on the Sunday, and I'll send out the invitations as he said. Erica's not with us this morning. She's okay, but she gets periodic like pain in her hands and joints and things that and swelling. And anyway, don't need all those details, but she's not feeling too great, so she's resting at home. So please pray for her as well. Roland just mentioned, he said, well, when we've done the offering, we can then move on to the word. Which, no criticism of what Roland was saying at all. But it's interesting, it just struck me. He said, we're going to move on, we've got another section. But in actual fact, there's so much that's been... And always, when you preach the word and you want to hear what God is saying, because that's the whole point of the message, you want God to speak. That's what somebody taught me a long time ago. They said, you know, don't be self-conscious or shy or apologetic about what you preach, because if God has given you something to say, it's because people are there that need to hear it. And so we need to know what it is that God is saying. But through, from beginning to end, you're always looking for those threads and things that are connecting the dots about what it is that God is saying to us as a church. Not what I'm saying as a preacher, but what he's saying to all of us as a community. And there's so much been said this morning and done that's been so really, encouraging along the lines of what I've felt from the beginning through this week as I prepared that God has wanted to say. And so I want to thank Graham for his word. And I think, you know, we're not just going to leave that there. I think that's still live with us. You know, that's a really important emphasis that he's brought in terms of understanding our identity in Christ and not... being resigned, not being drawn back from, just into the routines of life, and what Chioma has shared as well. Just there's that. There's a song. It always used to make me smile because it starts by saying, "There must be more than this." It sounds quite. There must be more than this. But there must be more than this. When we come to our faith in Jesus, there must be more to what it means to meet the living Son of God and have him live in power amongst us and have him move in our lives. And, the temptation that Chioma would have felt would have been resignation, just to, not to resign, from the job, but just think, oh, well, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. The anxiety is king. And yet choosing faith to say there is more than this is so important in our lives. And so as we continue in John's gospel, we're discovering what it means to see Jesus face to face, not just to be part of the system, but to meet Jesus. And the passage that we've come to this morning is in John chapter 1 and verse 29, just a few verses, verse 29 to 34. And I'm going to read it now. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one. But when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." We heard last week from Chris about the ministry of John the Baptist, how he understood his identity. Not the Messiah. He wasn't the main show. He wasn't the big noise. But he was a signpost, he was a pointer, someone who would direct people to Jesus and then fade into the background. Elsewhere he said, "He must become more, I must become less." And so there was no doubt in John's mind that even if he didn't get the full picture, he knew that there was something else, there was more to it than this. There was more to it than him, there was more to it than his ministry. And there was one coming after him that was so much greater and so much more worthy of honor that he was a voice announcing the coming of the word, as Chris said, just a voice announcing the word that was coming onto the scene, the word of God. Have you ever thought, I mean, John the Baptist is quite a mysterious sort of figure. Well, we're wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and honey and all of those things. It all sounds a bit strange, but he had to be quite a remarkable man to have all the attention, all the fame, all the interest, and to consistently point people away from himself and say, no, actually, there's somebody coming after me that's greater than me. Not taking any of it for himself, saying there is more to it than this. Don't settle for this. There's so much more because Jesus is coming. And that, to me, is a beautiful depiction of the ministry of the church. Whatever the church can offer you, whatever we can give, however connected you are to it, it's nothing compared to the fullness of knowing Jesus. And in our culture, we've got a lot of focus on church. You know, it's great that there's so many resources and things available. I go on YouTube, we listen to preachers and watch what's going on and all of that. But there's so much focus and attention that is on the church. And in many ways, things seem to be, like Chris mentioned last week, things seem to be breaking apart a little bit. The wheels seem to be coming off a little, the church industry, if you like. And because there is so much more to knowing Jesus than just having a glitzy, shiny church, which is good news for us, isn't it? John said, I'm not fit to untie the straps of his sandals, but let Jesus be glorified. And so we must never draw our security or our identity from anything else other than knowing Jesus. Not from the church, not from our activity, not from our ministry, not from our gifts, our talents, none of those things. Not what we do, what makes us useful. All of those things are part of it, but we have no worthwhile message except Jesus. Verse 29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I have been talking about. And then he goes on to say something really interesting. He said, I did not recognize him. And then it repeats in these few verses, that theme repeats over and over again. He said, there is one among you whom you do not recognize. I did not know he was the one, but God told me. I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. And so the question asked as I was going through all of this is, what makes Jesus remarkable? How do we recognize Jesus and his worth in our lives? Because it doesn't come naturally. Jesus was there, and yet they didn't recognize him. John was talking about the one that was coming after him. He didn't really know what that meant or what he looked like until God revealed it to him. And it's possible that Jesus can be standing among us and we see nothing out of the ordinary. Jesus carries the anointing, he carries the mission, but people weren't seeing it. And there's something so challenging about this because we can be so close to what God is doing and still miss who Jesus really is. We can be full on. We're not just talking about being on the fringe of the church. We can be full in the mainstream of the church. We can be fully tied up. And for people, you know, like myself in leadership and ministry, that temptation is so real that you can just get into the routines of everything and you miss Jesus. You don't recognize him. You don't see him for what he is. You're part of the crowd. You're in the flow. You hear the right words. You do the right things, but you don't quite recognize Jesus. And so the question, what makes Jesus remarkable, is open when we say, what makes him remarkable is when God shows us who he is. When God opens up our eyes to see Jesus for who he is. Coming to know Jesus is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual encounter. It's a revelation. It's not something that we can sit and we can learn. I remember my dad when I was the first in my family to become a Christian, and then my mum and dad sort of came after me. Hope he doesn't mind if he's watching. But you know, he said he got really interested in stuff that I was talking about. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? But you know, started reading books, and he got into reading Martin, all this before he became a Christian, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he just got so confused with everything because he was trying to educate himself into faith. And somebody said to him one day, stop trying to understand everything and put your faith in Jesus. And that day he did it, and that day he saw Jesus for the first time, in his heart, in his spirit, he understood. And some of the things that he'd been trying to understand became clear in a way that was impossible beforehand. And so coming to know Jesus is a spiritual encounter. And I wonder what you feel like sometimes. Do you feel, when you think about the crowds around John the Baptist, how easy it is to be just one of the crowd, to be lost in the melee, to think, well, I don't know what my life really means. I'm sort of hanging around. I want to see what's going on, but I don't really feel like I see Jesus. Driven to understand. You want to live right. You want to have faith. You want to do the right thing. You order your life. You sort things out, but there's something missing. You can't quite see Jesus. He's here. He's around. People say, oh, the presence of God was here this morning. You say, well, you know, but you don't really see him. You don't feel him. You don't recognize him in the way that other people seem to. And what we need in those moments is for God to open our eyes. We don't need to feel that I'm not good enough, or I'm not the right sort of person, or I haven't got enough faith, or I'm not like all those other people in the church, all those mature Christians that know everything. I'm not like that. But you know, and I could never. I've got a long road to walk. I've got a high mountain to climb before I can ever get close to knowing who Jesus is. In actual fact, what you need is for God to open the eyes of your heart. You need God to show you who he is. And that can be a moment. That can be, and that is a miraculous power. That is something that God does for us. So don't settle. Don't resign, as Graham said, to just being, well, this is just me. But know that there is more. There is so much more than this. There is so much more to seeing Jesus, to understanding Jesus, to knowing him for yourself. And it's possible for each and every one. John Wesley, many of you will have heard of John Wesley. John Wesley was in the 1700s, the leader of a great revival that led to the establishment of the Methodist Church. And there was like a nationwide and worldwide revivals and awakenings going on at the time. And John Wesley was a big part of that. The hymns that we sing, the old hymns that we sing, were certainly Charles Wesley, his brother, you know, wrote those. And so he's a big part of the history of Christianity in our country. But he describes a moment in his journal on May the 24th, 1738. And this was at a time when he was an ordained minister. He'd been a missionary. He was highly educated. He was disciplined. He was devout. He was committed to living a holy life. He preached, he prayed, he fasted, he studied scripture. And then he wrote these words. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. A man who was steeped in Christianity, and yet in that moment, it's like he saw Jesus for the first time. So vital that we seek God for all that he has for us. He had never seen Jesus like that before. He had an encounter with God. I remember in my own life when I was a young man, very much younger than I am now, and I'd become a Christian and put my faith in God, and yet I was struggling myself with what it all meant. There was a battle and there was a turmoil in my mind. I wanted to know God. I wanted to see him. But it was just like, people said, oh, you know, come to Jesus and it'll be great. You know, become a Christian and you'll see, you know, you'll get to speak in other languages, which I thought was great because I was doing French O-level at the time. And, you know, you'll have peace and like this. I had none of all that. It was just turmoil and anxiety and stuff going on. I think, oh, this, it doesn't make sense to me. And I remember going to sleep one night with my head going around like a washing machine and thinking, well, what happens here? So I went to sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, without doing anything, without praying anything, without meditating on anything, without doing anything religious, I woke up complete peace and calm, followed by a total awareness of the presence of God. Overwhelmed by his love for me and overwhelming love for him. and with a determination and a desire to give my whole life to him to do whatever. I had a little Honda C50 moped. And I remember going down the road, steaming down the road at 29 miles an hour because they were limited, and just singing to God. Now, this isn't me. I'm not very demonstrative, you know me. And yet I was just overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. And it lasted for 2 or 3 days. It was a long journey. I never experienced anything like it since, to be honest. But I remember it for the rest of my life because it was a moment when I really saw Jesus in clear focus. And I just would urge you to, not to work at it or whatever, but just to make that your prayer. There was a time in the Bible, in the Gospels, where people came and they said, we would see Jesus, that old language, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. What a prayer. We want to see Jesus. If that be our prayer today, then it's a powerful prayer. We want to see Jesus. There's lots going on. There's lots we have to do. There's lots of notices. There's lots in the what's on. There's all of that. But through it all, we want to see Jesus. John the Baptist represents the ends of hundreds of years of religious understanding. He was a prophet like the Old Testament prophets. What he was announcing was something brand new and so much more powerful. He was saying God himself now is present amongst us. And so he was like the last of a tradition. He was the last of a style of ministry and prophet. And as he went through it and he did it all and the crowds gathered around him and he baptized and he preached and he did all that he did, all of a sudden he looked up and he said, look, the Lamb of God. Introducing a new era of encounter. The embodiment of this good news that the angels sang about all those years ago. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's why our mission, our vision can never be just to be a good church, a popular church, an effective church, a well-known church, good people, all trying to make a difference. All those things are so valuable, they're so important, but there is so much more to it. Because in actual fact, if you think in terms of the YouTube ministries that there are, John the Baptist was successful. He was a megachurch pastor. He had crowds going out to him. He had people gathering around him. There was something going on. He was preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was baptizing people in water. He was doing all that we do. And yet still, he said, there's more. Still, he said, this isn't it. Still, in the middle of that ministry, in the middle of all that popularity and all of that success, he was able to say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he's coming. And we're breaking into a new era, a new order, the new gospel age. That's all about Jesus. Powerful three-dimensional encounter affects our heads, our hearts, our thoughts, our feelings, everything. You know, we have a thing where we say, it's not all about feelings. No, it's not all about feelings. Feelings are important. Feelings are a part of it. Feelings are the things that actually, once they're the things that make sense to us once we get our understanding together. John said, look, the Lamb of God. And that's our message. If you like, when people come to us and they, for whatever reason, we join and we connect ourselves to the community of the church, the message has to be not just at the beginning, but throughout every day of our lives. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is here. So we don't have a message that says, join the church for a lifetime of trying to overcome your sin, of trying to be a better person, of trying to get things straight, of struggling and battling and all of that. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, takes it away. John Wesley said, I knew that he had taken away my sin. That was the passage. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Let our journey of faith with Christ be at that starting point. He's taken away my sins. He said it to the prophet Isaiah, see, this coal has touched your lips, your guilt is swept away, taken away, your sin is atoned for. You are free now to serve me. As we come to Jesus, as we look up and we see Jesus, just like John Wesley, we say, wow, He's done it. He's taken it away. He's given me an open door to life and an opportunity to live and to discover an age of discovery, to discover the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let that be our life, not trying to get to the starting point. Let me just overcome all of these problems and then I'll be ready to worship. No, in actual fact, know that the Lamb of God takes all that away and gives us an open door to life and an opportunity. There might be struggle, there might be challenge, there's a process to go through, but it's all on the basis that he has taken it all away from us and he's given us life. And we can settle, we can resign, to use that word again, for a powerless gospel. And our expectations can diminish over time and we can just become settled. But Jesus hasn't changed. Somebody said, if God seems far away, guess who moved? God told John, the one on whom you see the Spirit rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus brings something else. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And again, this is not something that's optional. This is something that is for some Christians and not others. Or do you go to a church where they baptize in the Holy Spirit, or do you go to another church where they don't? You know, that doesn't actually make sense when you read the scripture, because God revealed to John, he said, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. It's what he does. If you meet Jesus, that's what he does to you. He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. He fills you with unimaginable power. He sweeps away your sin and he gives you power for living a life that is way beyond anything that the ministry of John the Baptist could offer. Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Not because John the Baptist wasn't a great man, but because they've understood something of what God is doing, that he's taking us on beyond from powerlessness to power, to be filled, immersed, overwhelmed, swept away and raised up in power. And so it's not a restrained thing in our lives when we meet Jesus. He unleashes power to transform. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. What power is that? And so the danger is this. We join the crowds. We be in the flow of what God is doing. We can worship, serve, attend, believe. We can give, we can pray. And yet we still struggle to see him. Struggle to recognize him for who he really is. Are we honest enough, humble enough, and open enough to ask God to open our eyes? Where are you today? What is going on in your heart today as you're coming, you know, like can come in with all sorts of burdens, all sorts of things clouding your vision, all sorts of disappointment, all sorts of discouragement, all sorts of challenge. Maybe you're on top of the world and you're in total love with Jesus. That's absolutely brilliant as well. We always go on the negative side, don't we? You're carrying all the pain. But that's a reality as well. Do you get tired of not quite seeing him? Are you willing to ask simply and honestly to see Jesus afresh? Maybe the team can come back and we begin to respond to the word. It's a very personal question in a corporate setting. It's a very direct question. It's a question we need to ask ourselves. And it's one, you know, we often look for a response, and it's great when people respond, but it's usually a handful, one or two, three or four, because the bulk of us, we tend to think, well, you know, this is what we do. We come to church on a Sunday. It's not the sort of thing I usually do, which is respond. But there's a moment when we have to ask ourselves, actually, am I seeing Jesus? Am I understanding the fullness of what it means to be baptized in the Spirit? Am I understanding what it means to live in the reality that my sin has been taken away? Or are we prepared just to settle for a good thing? John's ministry was a good thing. It was an effective thing. It gave people a sense of understanding and purpose. It gave them a sense of new beginning and everything else. But John himself was saying, no, Jesus is more. Do you know that you're connected with Jesus, or are you just getting into the routines. And there's a question for you to ask yourself. It's not one for me to keep pushing. Let's ask ourselves, are we seeing Jesus? And if not, do you have the desire that, oh, I want to see more. I want to understand more. I want to feel that joy. I want to see Jesus. We're going to worship as we're not closing. We've got time, but we're going to worship and ask ourselves that question. And if there's anything in you, then you need to ask the question. You need to ask God. It's not about receiving ministry from me or from anybody else, but you're very, very welcome to give legs to your prayer and come and stand here at the front and just ask God to reveal himself to you. Jonah said, simple word. Changed the whole life, changed the whole outlook. And today can be a powerful day like that in your life as well. And so if you want to come, and if you need to, you know you need to come, come and respond. Don't worry if you've never done it before. Don't worry about what people might think or anything else. People are going to be celebrating because we're all going to be responding in a way. We're all going to be responding to Jesus. And so let's just spend some time in worship and we'll pick it up from there.